Hello,
Hey,
how are
Jim.
you?
Jim, you on?
I am, yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. I'm going to copy you on the same email. You in front of your computer, Jim?
I am.
Okay, just see if you can grab this thing. It's one of the metrics we're working on. Rob, did
Right.
you get that without encryption?
Not yet.
Jim, did you get my email?
I just minimized Zoom and I'm going back into my workstation. I'm signing on now. So I need a minute.
Takes a long time to get a meeting started on this.
Well, it just seems like people are maybe struggling to get connections or something too.
Well, I'm in the office, so I'm just using the phone and viewing on Zoom because if I try to use the computer, it'll crash everybody else.
I think everybody else is anyway.
While we're waiting, how have you been, Rob?
I've been good. I've been good. Yeah, that's my first thing I'm supposed to ask every day is what's on your mind. I'm good. I just had a wonderful bike ride. It was started to sprinkle, but then it didn't rain. So that's a good thing on a bike ride.
It's true. And you haven't had flooding or fires.
No flooding, no fires, no mini hurricanes like they had in what did they have in
Iowa, sure.
Iowa? Terrible.
What do they call it, a derecho or something? It's just
Yeah, it was just, and my friend, one of my best friends is there, and it just was, everything is flattened. I mean, and they said there were a series of tornadoes inside it, so it was just like horrible.
Well, I've been analyzing where I want to retire, and I've decided nowhere where there's hurricanes, nowhere where there's floods, nowhere where there's fires or earthquakes, nowhere where there's derechos, and I found the perfect spot. My
Well,
backyard.
isn't that the truth? If it weren't for snow,
Yeah, but snow you can deal with unless it collapses your roof.
right? Yeah, we've got. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and right now until I get to go to Florida in a couple months. It's really lovely. It's a nice place. People love this as a place to retire. Good taxes, and Nashville is a hot spot for entertainment. So, getting a lot of retirees in this area.
Except when you can't go anywhere.
Right. Except in COVID. Yeah. Right. Well, they're open here.
Yeah,
They're
but is
all in
anybody going?
masks. They're
Is anyone
going.
going?
They're in Broadway. They're down there, and the bars are open. The music's coming out, and people are walking the streets. And it's you'd think that it was almost normal time.
Well, that's because you're in a red state.
Right. Yeah, they're just schools are open. Everybody is like, okay, we're good. It's and the numbers aren't bad. It was pretty busy here. There's a place you line up downtown for COVID tests, and it's a big parking lot next to the stadium. I go by it every day, and there's a few cars in there lined up every morning, but it's not like out the, you know.
We have a COVID testing center right next to the office. Jim can look out his window and see it, I guess. It's in the courthouse.
I can. I it,
And
there's
nobody ever
never a
goes there.
line. I
Nobody ever goes
didn't.
there.
I know. There's never a line.
Well,
Um,
think in reality we're handling this pretty well, you know. Anyway, I'm an optimist. I see it as a pretty bright future. Anyway,
Do we have everybody online now?
Yeah. 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 I just joined on the phone, because Zoom was hanging up on me, so I'm here. We're all together.
Hey, Rob and Jim, were you able to open that email?
Yes.
Let me see if I got it. Unfortunately, not yet for some reason. I got the first one just fine. Well, let's, if you guys would like, I'd love to get started on the, on roles and responsibilities and, you know, reporting in as we did. And that's probably part of this email, right?
It's very much the part of the email.
Okay. Well,
I mean, I'd be glad to start with a report on marketing and events. Like, I could talk about that while he tries to pull up that email. It's not anything you have to take heavy notes about or do any heavy lifting about. So, so we used to have very regular events. And then when this COVID hit, we were going to do a virtual event, and we were dissuaded by the fact that we weren't allowed to send any kind of food to people who were participating. But I'm going to try to do that again. Maybe now that time has gone by, they will permit that. And then maybe just as a last-ditch thing, I will go ahead and try to just do an event with no food and see who would want to show up to something just to hear people talking about something that may be of interest to them. So, I mean, we'll try that. But when things are normal, and hopefully things will start to normalize, we like to have regular events offered almost monthly, not quite monthly, but probably 9 times a year. Nice affairs and always media affairs with market outlooks or some kind of information that will benefit our clients. So that is our event planning, and that's a great way people bring their friends, and that's a great way to stay in touch and actually transition it to almost a friendship, which is a much better relationship. And then with regards to marketing, one of the things that we're working on is this transition and how we're going to introduce people to Sean or Dwayne or myself, who they might like to deal with, you know, who they might feel most comfortable with.
Sure.
I don't know what just happened. Okay. Anyway, so that is the report on the marketing and events. So we're continuing to work along those lines. And we have this we have a young man, Johnny, who's doing a lot of the social media stuff, and he is sending out these, I had set up these subscriptions so that our clients are getting very personal feeling emails. It feels like, you know, hey, friend, you know, I'm sending you this newsletter. I thought you might be interested. And so they feel and they respond as if you had sent it to them personally. So that's nice. So they're getting something like that at least once a month and on their birthday and different in-between things.
Rob, so Johnny is their virtual engagement associate. Pat, Rob is very familiar with the BEA program. He and I have spoken about it. So, yeah, Johnny Keith is doing the work that Pat's mentioning right now.
Terrific.
Yeah, it's terrific. Thank you. Congratulations. Pat, one of the things that seems to be working is Zoom marketing, Zoom calls, Zoom webinars. Bill Cates and I just did one, and you know, the best thing to do is to try these things yourself and see how they work. So we had our joint list of people that our clients and other associates that we've known over the years. So it was last Thursday at noon, and you all had a pre-planned meeting. But we had 300 people attend, and at the end I gave out I said, if you're, somebody asked me about the 12-month calendar, and I said, really, it's a 24-month calendar, and I explained what it is. I said, I don't have time to go into the exact, you know, what's on the calendar, but if you'd like, a copy of it, I'll just, you know, drop me an email. Well, I got inundated. So it generated business. People sent emails and said, hey, I've got a new team. Could you coach us? And so we probably got four or five teams that literally signed up from that marketing initiative. So I think you could do that. Invite a friend. We're going to give you this XYZ update on the economy. We have a chief economist for Touchstone or the chief economist for such and such. And we'd love to have you join us and bring a friend. And then just do a teaser. If you're interested in getting the report or do something, you know, email me. And I think you could do the same thing.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think we do need to do that. It's just this thing is extending much further than we expected. So I do think we're going to get on board with that.
Yeah, I would. Robert,
did you get that email yet, Rob?
Let me see. You might have to send it to my Gmail for some reason. Sometimes it doesn't come through. There we go.
Good.
Tell me when you have that open, please.
Did you also forward the calendar that you sent out to Johnny?
I just did that a minute ago, Phil. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
So this is a good morning. Hamilton, in advance of the call, I wanted to share with you the 24-month supernova calendar. Is that what you mean to open?
No, that's the second one I sent you. I sent you an earlier one at 11:06 this morning. It's funny because they went to the same email. So you got the second one before the first one.
Post office took over the system.
Let me see where it says to open. Okay, here's the thoughts for today. I'm looking forward to yours. Okay, that's your 24-month calendar.
This is a single attachment that says 515 Hamilton Group, PP, Director of Marketing and Events.
Director of Social Networking, forward-looking calendar. That's the wrong one, I guess.
Yep, that's the second one.
Here we go. Got it.
Okay, can you open that attachment?
Sure. Got it. Good.
Okay, so... As you know, last Thursday there was a big CPAC event that Tim Burns hosted, and he went through a whole potpourri of metrics that he looks at from that perspective, and that, you know, made it more apparent to us that we need to be monitoring at different levels what our activities are. So this is a screenshot or a PDF of a workbook within a worksheet that I've done for everybody. This happens to be Patty's. And on the top, I perceive that the scoreboard from the Supernova books is where we record the actual successes that convert into production. So I've just used my wife's, and I've identified her real 2020 production. We're sitting in still in September. That's as of yesterday's number. So she has 3 months to go. Down below, while in multiplier, you change game board to giving board. I elected to keep them as separate events because the game board to us, we're going to use to describe those pipeline events, the people, what type of business it is, the proposed dollars, the commission, the production, the splits based upon all of the JPNs we have. And then as those production opportunities become realized, then we convert them into production, and it goes up and it's measured on the scorecard. So, you know, Patty's got what she's got in total production right now, and she has about $68,000 in the pipeline plus her normal advisory business that comes on board. So she looks like she's going to be about $6,000 short of her goal, but, you know, she's tracking beautifully. If we scroll down just below the game board, we have the giving board. And I'm a little confused by this because I think this is those events, those natural niches, those things that we're planting seeds in, not necessarily trying to draw something out of. Am I understanding what you mean by giving board?
The game, here's the giving board and the game board were, you know, one and the same in the sense that what you've described above here is really a pipeline tool. Okay. The game board that as I see it, we may be able to discuss that, but that's what it looks like. The giving board is supposed to be activities that are going to generate, reciprocal benefits. The idea is that we always said give to get, right? And then we changed it give to give. And now I've changed it again to give to givers. The idea is that you give. Your job every week in the giving board is to generate activity and referrals out. And if you have enough, if you're giving enough introductions out to your network, then you will generate introductions coming in. But you've got to be sure that you're giving to givers and not to takers or matchers. All right. So the idea is, how did we do this week? Who was able to give? If you had meetings with, you know, your goal is make up your own goals, but your goal this week, every week, is to meet with one center of influence. And in that meeting, were you able to give an introduction? You met with your mastermind group. Were you able to give an introduction? What giving did you do? And that we could do that right with everybody on the team. There's no limit to who can give. Anybody on the team can use the enthusiastically endorsed list to give. Yes, I gave a referral to a neighbor who is moving, you know, who's looking for a cardiologist. And so I gave her our name. That may be a stretch in the sense you don't want to give it out to everybody. But the idea is that when somebody is you want to have a network of people that you have vetted and that you're giving the names to people that are vetted. You give to givers, and you give to network and you give to develop relationships.
Okay, so then the giving board, the giving to givers, those are specific focused actions of giving and hopefully having something come back. Not just that we're involved in a community bike works or a ladies Bible study, but during a ladies Bible study, I did something specific.
Right. So when you have your monthly meeting with the center of influence, your job all month is to find value for that center of influence. You're going to bring him a good idea, and if humanly possible, you're going to bring him an introduction or her an introduction. That's the number one thing. That's like handing money to somebody.
Yeah.
So what do we want to do? We want to weight the scale on one side. And if we're giving it to the right people, then guess what? They're going to be bringing an introduction every month for us.
Got it.
You can make that clear as a bell in the beginning. This is my goal. And they say, well, how are you able to do that? Well, simply because we're constantly asking our clients and other people, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And when they say, no, I'm thinking of a new one, then we have that introduction for you. Well, what would I do? Well, what you would do is ask, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when they can't and they're ready for a change, you introduce us. And then they get it. But you need to constantly be teaching them that. You can't teach that once and expect them to learn it, just like you guys. You won't remember. So every month you're meeting with them, you're reminding them of what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Got it. Could we look down below, just below at the book of business metrics?
Yes.
Because this is kind of where we're tackling right now. Now, this is Jess, my wife's, but Bill has one and I have one. And then I write a formula that adds all of it together. And then there's a team metrics on another page. But if we just look at Patty's, she has 429 households, 204 of which are less than 250, representing only 8% of her total assets under management and only 12% of her revenue.
Wow.
If I look at the team dynamics, we have 1,312 households, 49% are under 250, representing only 8% of our total assets and 13% of our revenue. So as Sean comes on board, part of the reason I think we've been, I'll use the word protective of this. Sean, as a new financial advisor associate, has certain bogeys he's got to hit to make sure that he's a tier one guy at all times. So he's tracking to be that.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we give him enough cover and insulation that he has time to build his own business and to do things correctly and to assist us in his role as director of financial planning to make sure that all of that is covered for everybody on the team. But I'm curious as to what your experience has been with that hardline segmentation. When we did it, we see it, we know what to do, but it seems to be a difficult cord to want to cut.
Well, I mean, I think what you can do, it's you know, we never set our minimums just based on, it is based on mathematics, right? And we want to stick as we want to avoid the emotion and keep the mathematics working for us. So with that in mind, you know, you can take another player, put them in there and determine, you know, what your minimums are with that number and eliminate the rest of those clients. So if there are four players in the game instead of three, you can take your total number of clients and divide them by, you know, each you're allowed then quote 400 clients, and I would not go beyond that. All right, so if Phil is going to be taking on less and less clients, then I wouldn't use 100 for him. I'd say 70. And Patty, you know, each one of you guys should probably only max out at about 70 clients. And with Sean, I wouldn't give him any more than 50 clients. Okay, because you want him to do financial planning. You want him to grow his practice. You want him to have a life. You want him to have some balance. And so 50 clients is fine. So that gives you 200, 7 times 3 is 21, 210 plus 50. That's 300 clients is really what you should have max as a team. And the rest should go away. Okay? And
Bob, I'm thinking that some of that rest should go away is going to go away in the form of this little book that can be seen by the company but not really worried about by Sean. So that he has assets that show up just to keep the company safe. And, for example, let's say he brings in Mr. Gotbucks with $1 million, then he can get rid of half a dozen or a dozen. Nobody got money there. And, you know, take in $1 million and give up $100,000 or something. So he grows the book, but he keeps the company happy. And I'm not sure how Jim is going to take to that, but it makes a little sense if you've got a bogey that you have to meet.
I mean, you do what you need to do. Right.
But we're going to mark 50 as the real deal, you know, but it'll give him something to start with. And then our idea, we're also doing succession planning here because we're taking a long view even for ourselves. And so the other thing that we're looking to do is perhaps bring on, you know, a person can't do this alone. So Sean's fantastic. And we need, you know, maybe one or two other people that are solid people. So as we bring on another young person, this could be a tool to help them out as they're trying to meet their goals. And then eventually when we've got an established group, like an established group of young people, that are solid, I think that's when we send everything off to either some other young people in the office that are unrelated to us or to the client service center.
Yeah, just be careful that you're not spending good money to be in a business that produces a loss. Okay?
Right. No, I hear you. Yeah, we did that math, and it's true that very little is generated right now from those small accounts because we simply can't, either they have nothing or we can't properly take care of them to earn everything that they have.
And
so that's definitely a fact. You're absolutely right. So we're being mindful of that. And we've been holding on just because Sean's coming on in October. So we want to make sure that we have resources for him. And we're going to be mindful of his planning so we're not wasting his time on garbage.
Right. So, and remember, your brand isn't determined by your best client, but by your worst client.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good. Absolutely.
Hey, Jim,
I'm going to be the worst client they've ever had.
go ahead, Dwayne.
Jim, could you go down to the bottom, the last section of the modern wealth metrics? And Jim, this is what I was asking you about yesterday. I didn't pick up on it that this is what Isaiah was sending out, but those were the metrics by which Tim Burns was kind of going through top and bottom FAs. And I'm curious as to how, you know, branch management, CPAC leadership, you know, views this and what, you know, how much we should really be focused on these metrics. And these happen to be Patty's. Mine are very similar. I haven't seen Phil's, but
right.
What's your take on this?
Well, there's two. There's management's perspective, which I'll come back to, and there's the FA, you know, and you and I have talked about this, and Rob, you know, difference between what we call proof points, meaning does modern wealth management effectiveness lead to revenue and assets? And now that we're 18 months, 24 months into tracking these metrics, the proof points, which Tim went over, you know, seem to indicate yes. So from an advisor's perspective, the more digitally engaged, the safer my clients are, the more tools I'm using, the more engaged. In the old days, Rob and I at Merrill Lynch, we used to call them hooks, you know, stock, a bond, a mutual fund, checking, online, you know, the more hooks you had, the number was seven. That client could almost never get away from you. But so anyway, the advisory answer is that they're saying the more engaged you are in all these tools, the better the client will be. Now, from a management standpoint, that's how they're compensated. So they don't really like to promote that, but, you know, their branches and their complexes based on national average and local success does affect their annual compensation. Does that answer your question?
I didn't see that coming, but yeah, that's because I couldn't figure out why we would care as much as he wants us to care.
Well, the firm is incenting management to drive these initiatives because they believe they work and the numbers are starting to prove out. So I don't want to make it sound like they're conflicting interests because they're not. You know, they are, you know, all moving in the same direction. The advisors make more money because they're engaged. The managers make more money because they're engaged and we have a better, platform to offer clients and the clients are happier.
Yeah. Rob, if you could help me understand something. So in this document I've created, of which you only have Patty's, under Lori's, where we have her as, you know, the director of client services, what type of information am I tracking there? And what type of data points or success points or what is the measure I'm supposed to be using in that aspect?
Then that would be what we refer to as brand management. That'd be Supernova and operations, correct? Is that what you're referring to?
So that's part of where my confusion has been lying, because I think over the last 6 months, I've perceived the director of planning, implementation, brand management as growth as different things at different times and sometimes commingling responsibility. So the delineations haven't always been clear to me, but yes, in your definition, she would be brand manager.
Right.
But
we used to call that service. That we just put service. director of service, but we changed it to brand management because it's more comprehensive. It's operations and service and maintaining the brand. All right. It's kind of a compliance responsibility in terms of making sure that things are going well from an operations and service point of view, because if they break down, your brand breaks down. All right. So if we're not delivering 1242, if we're not delivering rapid response, it really affects the brand immediately. So, and that person is also responsible for all meetings. All right. So meaning if you have a Monday morning, game board meeting, if you have a Friday afternoon scoreboard meeting, that person is responsible for making sure that they are scheduled and that people know about them. The leader's responsibility if somebody consistently doesn't show up, that's a problem. But that the brand manager's in charge of getting, making sure that everybody knows about every appointment, whether it's a client appointment or it's an appointment with the team, or it's a marketing appointment. And one of the things I encourage is to turn over your marketing initiative calendar to that person so that it is all calendar related issues are covered by one team or one person.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Do you by chance have, and Jim, do you have the ability to switch over to that second email I sent you?
Sure.
Well, yeah, let me look.
By the way, I'm really impressed with this, and I have another idea for you if you love this work.
Oh, I do. And I have to tell you, I've been very, very impressed by the data that the firm does make available through our wealth books or our 3D platform. It's all there. It takes a little while to figure it out, but they can push a tremendous amount of analytics to you, a tremendous amount.
Not to digress, but one of the things that I am very passionate about is this idea of taking your existing clients and moving them along the continuum from being customers to clients then to advocates, and advocates to ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of our development of our clients, how do we move them along that continuum? A customer is someone who uses us for transactions, but we have not done a financial plan and they do not treat us as their trusted advisor. A customer is somebody that has done a plan, treats us as their consultant and does what we tell them. An ambassador is somebody that does all the above plus has in the past given us an introduction, therefore telling us that they enthusiastically endorse us. An ambassador is one that has done it in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Okay. And what that does is it raises, just like what you've done with who's generating what revenues, who's, you know, the 80-20 rule. This tells you in terms of your internal marketing, what you have. Is this guy an ambassador and has given us an introduction every year? And are we treating him commensurate to the value that he's bringing or she's bringing, right? So it raises your consciousness and you'll say, you know, we've had this guy for 10 years. He's a terrific client. He loves us and he's never given us an introduction. Have we ever asked him? No. What the heck's going on? Let's tell them about our ambassador club. You know, if you give us an introduction in the last 12 months, you're invited, just like you guys are. You don't get to your recognition clubs because of what you did 3 years ago. You go to the recognition club because of what you did last year, in the last 12 months. Okay? And that's the way you treat the ambassadors club, and you buy them, you do something nice. You buy them a nice dinner, take them on a cruise on the lake or a river or something, and you tell them they're ambassadors, and you give them a little award for being an ambassador. We do that at my club. You know, if you bring in a new member, you get on your locker, you get an ambassador certificate, you know, that you're an ambassador, one-time ambassador, twice ambassador. It's just a recognition that people like. All human beings like to be recognized and appreciated and valued. So it's, if you like this, this is a great project, and it will raise your awareness of where you are in terms of relationships. Why is this guy a client? Why isn't he an ambassador? Why is this guy still a customer? And do we really want him? He treats us like garbage. You know, he's got 5 million with us, but he never takes our advice. He won't even take our phone calls. So let's get rid of him. Let's give him somebody else.
Yeah. No, I like that very much. The last point I just want to make, Jim, did you get that email up that I sent to Johnny?
What is a certified Kingdom advisor?
Certified Kingdom advisor is a program that Patty and I went through that takes financial advisors through a 100-module course on introducing scripture through financial planning to make sure that it's biblically sound in the advice.
Very cool.
Yes. And Morgan Stanley has an internal group called the Christian Focus Group. There are 480 advisors that are part of that. And Kingdom Advisors is kind of taking the lead nationally as the accreditation that represents those financial advisors who have gone an extra level to incorporate biblical principles in the practice. There's about 1,600 across the country right now. And Morgan Stanley has just recently brought the certified Kingdom Advisor accreditation on board so that we can start to use it. But what I was trying to do with Johnny this morning, because he's our virtuals guy, right, is give him the 24-month calendar that Phil built out for Supernova, give him ownership of that, and then ask him to manage not only those broad strokes but also the topical issues month over month, and also to really be more purposeful with how we do our social media on Facebook and LinkedIn with some of the pre-approved Morgan Stanley opportunities. And then as we get into the virtual BEA videos, we're going to start to do those towards the end of Q4, I hope. And
right.
Ronnie's going to make those as well. So
right.
I will tell you that from a virtual team guy, this whole BEA thing is absolutely spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. Maybe one of our best technologies. And maybe we just got really lucky with Johnny. But, boy, he's a champion. There's no doubt about that. But so that's how we're handling him in our meetings. And he does call in every Wednesday with us and for 10 or 15 minutes. And it's been a really, really nice relationship so far.
I have one comment on the BEA and then the video of what's coming, because I see your 2021 calendar, and I know and Next Best Action, a lot of the content can be repetitive or static, but very soon Q4 also is the ability to for customization. So they're going to get CRC involved, meaning that Johnny's going to be able to dovetail the specific topics that you do want in 2021 very closely to what's in this document at the bottom there. So more to come there, but he's not going to be sending the same, you know, sign up for a financial plan. You know, there are going to be some local stuff he can do.
Yeah, if you circle back to the text I wrote above, what we do is he finds us the bones, the basics, and then we tweak it beginning and end to really make it appropriate. Then he submits it to CRC for approval, and it really makes something that's very, very nice. There's not a big library of things that we can do that to yet, but I think that's
right.
What you're talking about. But we're definitely
more,
headed.
Yes, yeah. More to come, yes.
So, Dwayne.
And so,
Your vision of what this, if you had a magic wand and you could use Johnny perfectly with this 24-month calendar, how would the month preparation go, and then how would you execute on it?
Well, the month preparation, prior to the month, I would like him to go into the library of available NBAs and scrub those for, you know, the top two or three, push those to us. And then I can write the beginning and the end that's a little bit more romantic, a little bit more specific to the culture of our business and our practice and the way we describe things to make it consistent with how we want to present ourselves to the clients. And pretty much he's been doing that, but I've been doing it kind of every Wednesday we revisit it. And now I want him to take ownership of it, because I'll tell you, Rob, what that young man knows, I go out of my way to not know how to do, and he's just really that good at it. And he's so willing to take over that, you know, I can't do better than him, and I have to take a lot of guidance from him because I just don't know all the things that we can do. All and right. His willingness to tackle CRC for us is really wonderful.
To just drill down another minute, because this is fascinating. Let's take long-term care. It's the prep before, where you prep your team, we're going to do long-term care. Here's an updated, here's the people that are offering long-term care. Here are the rates, and just a general teaching moment, you know, in preparation for that month of long-term care communications with your client. How would Johnny fit into that? How would that work?
Well, one of the ways I would do that is if Johnny could find an NBA for us just on long-term care. Most people think that there is only traditional long-term care as the method to acquire coverage, when in fact there are seven different versions, seven different types, seven different ways that you can acquire long-term care, and that insurance companies over the last 7 or 8 years have gotten very sophisticated in what clients don't want. They don't want to lose it or use it, or use it or lose it. So there's a number of annuity-based and hybrid-based and asset-backed-based types of long-term care. And I think Johnny can help us tease the idea that, listen, you may have an old version that we can scrub. And Sean is very good at scrubbing existing traditional policies. And then we can possibly revisit them in a new updated version of long-term care, which is incredibly affordable in today's terms. And I think just by opening up the opportunity that it's not just this traditional Genworth policy where every 5 years you get a letter that says it's going to increase by 20%, right, and that's the way it's going to be. I think that what we try to do, Rob, is get Johnny to force the client into some call of action where we're asking them, read this, and if you've got one of these and we've missed it, let us know, because we can't know everything about everything.
Right.
But that's what we're trying to do.
That would then go on the agenda for every client that you're going to bring it up and be prepared. I mean, he can be doing that, right? He can push that out and say, hey, during your monthly phone call or your monthly communication with your team, please put this on the agenda and think about it. And we'll be bringing this up for discussion during our monthly call. And then you customize that presentation to that client, knowing where they are, and now we've got a really coordinated effort rather than please respond if you want, have an interest in this, because you're calling every client every month, right? I'm assuming, I'm talking about, that's the problem. If you're not doing 1242 with everybody, then you've got, you know, two different marketing efforts going on. But
understood.
Yeah, if you can do this with your, you know, if he can customize this for your 1242 Supernova clients, I think it can coordinate beautifully with your agenda, give the client that sense of preparation for a reasonably good idea, and I think it could facilitate the closing of business at a much higher rate than just hitting them with it, and all of a sudden they're like, I don't know anything about this, blah, blah, blah. You look more professional, better, and I love the idea. So, you know, from my point of view, if you can take it to that level, you will make everybody all your clients feel as though it's so personalized for them, they will love you.
And you're setting a goal for us that I see. We're not there yet. And I have to admit that, you know, in the 8 months we've been working together, this has taken a whole lot longer to understand and to integrate and to make it part of the team than I would have anticipated, but we're getting much closer. And having the awareness of the significance of the every client every month and how we can till the soil with Johnny's NBAs and then close it up when we're doing our monthly calls and update the life views and the GPSs at the same time. That's where we're headed. We're not there yet, but we're certainly working hard at it.
Yeah, you've been bogged down with the problem of segmentation right from the beginning. You guys have the ability to be an ideal team. You guys have to be supernova superstars, not just supernova advisors. And you're really close. This typically takes a year. So you cannot be disappointed in how you're doing with it. And the work you're doing right here, I'm tip of the hat, it's awesome.
And what we're trying to do from the really big picture, and I'll just take a second to say this, you know, Sean was a wealth advisor associate for 2 years, and there's nobody in all the branches that Sean has worked in who doesn't like Sean a lot. And, you know, we're very pleased and honored, really, that he's decided to join our team because he brings, you know, a great work ethic and a great reputation and just a wonderful, wonderful young man. But other people see that, too. And I want him to have the confidence and knowledge that within our group, he will have the time to develop those relationships so that for those advisors who are still sole practitioners who are 62 or 63, and if they leave, they have no place to go with their book. If they're looking at Sean and part of the 515 group, that they know that he has a team behind him and a process and a system that just makes the whole FAP system work better for everybody because it's a process we understand and we repeat. And that's really where I'd like this to be, you know, a year from now or 18 months or, you know, sooner rather than later. But this is a pretty cool program.
No, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And you're establishing credibility where you're the most attractive person in the room as a team. For me as a retiring FA, this is, I know right. The care and feeding of my clients is going to be unsurpassed. And just think it from Sean's point of view, when he goes to work every day, knowing that this is our project for the month. We've been trained on it. I can sell this. I know it. I'm going to present it to every client that I'm responsible for. And just think how great that is for everybody on the team. You know, this month we're talking about liabilities. We've been briefed on securitized loans. We know the mortgage business, and that's what we're working on this month and next month. So there's not this, oh, what are we going to talk about? I mean, guys say that to me all the time. What do you do on these other 8 calls rather than just review the portfolio? I'm like, that is so, frankly, I don't say it, but that's so passe. That's what we used to do 10 years ago. What we're doing now is holistic financial planning and implementing the plan and constantly updating it, and portfolio management and performance is a tiny part of it. We've got all these other things that we need to do. So you're spot on and delivering a great client experience with one that is, you know, going to, I think it revolutionizes the business.
I do too. And Jim, I hope that, that, you know, this little snapshot of what we're doing helps you to understand what we're trying to say to the Joyces of the world and the Bob Simons of the world as to how we would integrate other teams into our practice and make it work so well for everybody else. I think we're getting closer.
100%. You and I spoke about this, you know, pre-COVID, you know, and to see it start to take, to form and take hold, like Rob just said, is a wonderful thing. But I just want to dovetail with one of your earlier comments about working together for 7 or 8 months and seeing the vision and implementing and segmentation, all these things. While Rob has told us all so many interesting things over the past 8 months, one of the most interesting things I recall him saying was how many supernova teams go through the program more than once. And I found that fascinating, and I asked him to explain it to me. Not that, you know, that's going to be your situation, but just they know more, and their expectations are better, and they're more open to a lot of these concepts, which initially can be a lot and very different and sometimes overwhelming. But anyway, I just thought it was very interesting that you're seeing after 8 months where he knew you would get to, but the fact that some do it twice because they're just more geared up the second time, I thought was fascinating.
I think you're totally right because, you know, I read Multiplier a couple months ago, and then I just downloaded the audio version of the Audible books, and I listened to that while I'm doing whatever I'm doing. It's a different way of understanding it, and you pick up different ways from different learning techniques, but it's a lot to digest, and small bites get you there, but it's definitely working. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to do this.
Sure.
All right, so we're at 12 o'clock. I know we like to stop at the half hour. We've gone over, but I think we did a lot.
Well, you've become now a lab for me. Okay, you're now into a territory that rarely gets experienced, and I'm very interested in how you develop this monthly initiative with Johnny and how that goes exactly. The more detail you can give me on your process and the more you can adhere to and improve the process, it's fabulous for me. You'll never have me cut you off when you're talking about this stuff. And if you want more information on that, that spreadsheet to excellence in terms of moving the clients from, you know, customers to
ambassadors,
we can get that to you. It's a kind of a pet project also of mine. So please keep going. You're doing a terrific job. Great team effort. And I know your business is great. Okay? We don't even talk about that. I guarantee you, your business is terrific. But what you're doing behind the scenes is very impressive. And so I look forward to more of this. So,
well, I appreciate the kind words, and we'll be back together a month from now.
Correct.
And hopefully we'll have some good updates to report to you.
Terrific. Congratulations, and way to go. A pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.